Welcome again to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. This is John,
Judy,
and Marlis.
And this will be episode 14. Tonight we're going to be talking about Campbelltown Scotch. And Campbelltown is one of five areas in Scotland categorized as a distinct malt whiskey producing region and is home to the Campbelltown single malts. At one point, it had over 30 distilleries that proclaimed itself the whiskey capital of the world. However, a focus on quantity rather than quality and the combination of Prohibition and the Great Depression in the United States led to most distilleries going out of business. Today, only three active distilleries remain in Campbelltown: Glen Scotia, Glen Gyle, and Springbank. And we will be talking about an offering from Springbank and another from Glen Scotia. So with that, we'll start. With Springbank.
I've never had Springbank before, so this is kind of exciting. The distillery was established in 1828 on the site of Archibald Mitchell's illicit still, and it is still a family-owned distillery. They're in the fifth generation now, and they have several different scotches that they put out, but we're going to talk, what we have here today is the Springbank 10 years, so it's kind of like the basic Springbank product. So we sniff. It's not as sweet as some of the scotches we've tried.
It has a little bit of a vanilla scent to me.
A little bit of alcohol scent, but that doesn't always translate into taste. And yeah, the vanilla. And so I'm kind of eager to, let's take a sip. I managed to get it down my chin, which is not optimal, but
I like the finish on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I could describe it. That's not one of my strengths is describing things like that. But I just like the way it felt on the back of my tongue when I was done.
Oh, that is nice. Mm-hmm. It has a nice, smooth, like sort of buttery finish. It doesn't have the spice or the sweetness of some of the Speyside or Highland scotches that we've tried. But it's very flavorful. Doesn't have a lot of peat or smoke. But
I think people who aren't used to drinking peat type whiskeys probably will think this is smoky and peaty. I've had people say that about Doors.
Oh.
They've never had Doors before, and imagine that.
Yeah.
and they taste it, and they go, oh.
Are they foreign?
Oh, I can taste the peat. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. So I think this one probably has enough of a peat thing going for it that non-peat drinking people will really notice it, where to us it's like negligible.
And I think Springbank does put out a peated malt called Longrow, so that's something you might look for too. It's very nice.
I like it.
It's smooth without being bland.
It's got a lot of flavor, but for this, as smooth as it is, it has a lot of flavor.
To me, it reminds me of a good quality Highland mixed with just a little bit of spice and peat from, you know, but it's not as strong as an Islay, but still really, really good.
All right. Now, in some ways, I like a little more spice or peat or something, but this is very, very pleasant, and we would recommend it, I believe.
Yeah, right. So let's move on to the Glen Scotia. Glen Scotia Distillery was founded in 1832. It's, of course, also Campbelltown. And you already said it was the whiskey capital of the world. You just totally stole my thunder. That's all right. We have today a 15-year Glen Scotia. It was matured in oak barrels before bottling. Now, I saw another one that said I think it was the Whiskey Exchange said it was done in bourbon barrels, and I'm like, but...
Well, I think they're all in bourbon barrels to start, and then they...
Okay, maybe I was looking at two different parts of the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was finished in the oak barrel, so that's where I got mixed up.
And these are both 46% alcohol, so they're about the same in that.
And the Glen Scotia Distillery has a staff of 7, according to the... maybe reputable Wikipedia. I'm assuming mm-hmm. they are correct. You never know. But that's a pretty small distillery, and that mm-hmm. might account for the price that we had to pay. I don't know how much yours was, but
it was about 82 before tax.
Yes, which and ours was I think 83 or 84.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is why we're only doing two today.
So a staff of seven explains the high cost because they can't produce as much at a time, kind of like the Edredor mm-hmm.
type of situation. Eager. It smells good.
Well, it says the nose should have hints of vanilla oak with notes of sea spray and spicy aromatic fruits. Sorry, I couldn't read my own handwriting.
It does smell very good.
Yeah, I'm not getting the sea spray, but you know, it's cold season. Maybe I just
sometimes aroma is in the nose of the beholder.
That's true. Definitely. Yeah, most definitely.
It just depends on how your nose is wired.
Mm-hmm. That's a little more obstreperous. I think that's a word.
It is a word.
I know.
How do you find it obstreperous?
Well, it's got a little more punch.
It's
right
a little
in the
rougher.
Yeah. Not in a bad way, but just kind mm-hmm. of like, hey there.
Well, it's also a 15-year mm-hmm. as opposed to a 10-year.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
It seems counterintuitive to me that the older ones sometimes are rougher than, you'd think like the young ones would be like rough and not as...
Well, but it could be a little more, the taste might concentrate a little bit mm-hmm. more in those years. So it's got a little bit more of a bite to me.
It does. Mm-hmm.
I still found it kind of smooth, but I might mm-hmm. drink it tomorrow and just mm-hmm. say, oh, no, it's not. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's good, though.
It is.
It's got a little more spice, a little more salt, brine, whatever. Mm-hmm. And...
Yeah, you taste more of the alcohol in this one, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Springbank 10-year is smoother. But... This the Glen Scotia definitely has a more flavor to it.
Now, I just went back and took a small swig of the Springbank, and compared to the Glen Scotia, it's and I don't mean this as a criticism, it's almost a little watery or thin.
Oh, you drink it after you drink it?
Yes, just to right. you know, yeah, and yeah. so that what we're seeing is a little more. Assertiveness, a little mm-hmm. in the Glen Scotia, and again, it's older, a little more spice, heat, mm-hmm. you know, it's, but they're both very tasty.
I think.
Yeah.
I think there's more oak, and I think you can see that kind of in the coloration, too. It's just a little bit darker
mm-hmm.
than the Springbank,
mm-hmm.
and it's definitely a little stronger and has a little stronger mm-hmm. flavor to it as well.
And I think we lucked out drinking it in the order that we did, because if we had had the Glen Scotia first, we probably wouldn't have been able to really taste the Springbank
as much.
And we would have said, it tastes watery, mm-hmm. but it's mm-hmm. kind of like you shouldn't
but
drink.
But it's not.
When you're doing a beer tasting, you shouldn't have those, you know, strong IPAs before the, you know, Hefeweizen that would totally ruin everything.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, and again, you know, each Scotch has its audience. I think if you have folk who are not used to drinking straight liquor, especially, and are not quite as fond of strong tastes, you know, they want the Starbucks milder tastes as opposed to the, you know, dark French roast or something of that sort, then definitely introduce them to the Springbank because it's nice, it's complex. But it's very smooth, and it's got a little bit of, but it's very tasty. So that mm-hmm. might be something that, you know, for people who aren't great on strong tastes or peat or smoke, it's a really nice introduction, I think. And the Glen Scotia is just very interesting, period.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have a little more, in fact, before we try our water test.
Yes, we're going to do our test. So you have to have a little more in there.
I kind of feel like the water trial is sort of like, you know, the dunking of witches or something. I don't mean to play fast and loose with the suffering of those people. But, you know, can it stand a few drops of water? Or mm-hmm. does it immediately become kind of, water, I don't
know. That's a good one, Marlis. I don't know that I would have thought of that.
I know.
Did that just come to you right now?
Well, I've been watching a lot of TV lately, so, you know, you get...
yeah, and some things take really well to water, and... Oops.
some things don't.
Mm-hmm. I actually have to get water in it for it to work.
Now, we didn't put lots of water in, just a few drops, because we're having actually pretty small servings of scotch, but it doesn't seem to have affected the... From my point of view, the Springbank is about the same.
It didn't water it down, so to speak, even though we put water in it. It, I don't know that it did anything to particularly open it up. I can't see that or taste that. I can't see it either. It's all invisible.
It's just still really good.
Yeah, it's got a nice, slightly sweet, slightly vanilla aroma to it.
Now, where could you imagine drinking Springbank? I would imagine... someplace in a nice Georgian or Regency house, you know, where everything is slightly delicate and slightly, but in the library where it's lovely and there's a fire.
And this might be more for the scotch drinking woman, you know, maybe, like the hair on your chest ones, you know.
Or the more fashionable men, perhaps.
Well, I didn't say men couldn't drink it. I'm just saying it might appeal more. For women, this might be more appealing than the really strong, rough ones. Maybe she's wearing a poodle skirt.
Probably, well, that could be. That could be.
And has her hair up in a bouffant. I'm just going with it.
Okay. Somewhere, we're not sure where.
But that's not where.
That's good. All right.
You never know where I'm going.
We can go wherever we want.
Okay,
so
let's
of the imagination
see about the Glen Scotia.
Now, actually, I did get there was a note online about what which might happen to the palate when you add water.
Oh, what?
It says it might bring out the caramelized and wood elements. So let us see if it's done more to that.
Let's see if it builds a bookshelf for us.
That's right. A caramelized one.
Yeah.
Sorry. I digress.
I want to say that. I want to say that the nose is a little different to me.
Oh, God, I actually get caramel.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Maybe it's the power of suggestion.
No,
I don't know.
No, you know what?
But there's definitely a different nose. Before, it didn't have that caramely smell.
Yeah, no, it does.
Just a couple drops of water.
Kind of like some of my favorite bourbons has that little caramel in it, and it's very nice.
Yeah. And I feel like it smoothed it out a tiny bit.
Yeah. I think a bit. Not quite so.
Or either that
in
or
your
my,
face.
Or maybe my tongue is just numb. Who knows? Which could be.
I don't think so.
I haven't had that much. I mean, very small pores here, but.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely, it did change the nose, and I do believe that it's just a little smoother.
Yeah, this is really nice.
Both of them are lovely in their own way. I think, and having. You know, digressed into rum for a couple of episodes. It's kind of nice to be back with the scotch, as fond as I was of some of the rum. These are really tasty little treats.
Well,
and the Campbelltown, it's on the Kintyre Peninsula, is that?
Kintyre, yes.
Yeah, which is this little dangly bit off the southeastern coast of Scotland. Southwest. So, I mean, it's a fairly tiny territory.
What did you say? The southwest. Coast.
Southwest, yeah. Okay, yeah, east, west. I get easily confused.
It's near Isla.
Yes, yes. This is true.
And I did read where they do use like peat in their, you know.
Roasting.
Thank you. Lost my words. you know, so if it does have a little bit of a peatiness to it, it wouldn't be a surprise. But I don't think it, actually, I think the Springbank had more of a very light peat flavor to it more than the Glen Scotia to me. Not that it's supposed to, because it's not billed as a peaty, smoky thing, but you know, if you're going to roast things, I don't know how they roast the Springbank.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, and frankly, at this point in the tasting, they both just taste really good.
Yeah. I'm getting some peat from the Glen Scotia.
Okay. Cool.
This is an important thing for those of you who may want to do scotch potlucks or other scotch tasting events, is that pour everyone tiny little bits to start with, because after they have five or six of them, everyone's a little bit, hey, this is good. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is good too. Wow, this is good. So, you know, be warned.
And trust me, the next day you go, why did I think this was good?
Yeah.
Because you're like, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's happened to me. I've mm-hmm. had too much along the way. And by the time I get to the end, everything tastes great. Mm-hmm. And then the next day I try that same one and it's like, no.
Yeah. But what's interesting is the Glen Scotia, we liked without the water and with the water, which mm-hmm. is not that common. And the same thing with the Springbank.
Right, both of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and often, so far, I think the only thing we've really liked with water was the Glenfiddich Nadura or Glenlivet Nadura. Shoot. Let me go look at the bottle.
Which one's it's Glen, among yourself.
I want to say it's Glenlivet.
I think it's Glenlivet.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah, the Nadura, which is like 63% alcohol or 67%. Oh. And that really needs a bit of water. Or actually, you need to hit it with a stick a few times.
You know that sampled too much scotch when you can't remember what they are anymore.
I know.
What you've tasted. Yes.
But tasty.
We have a very small liquor cabinet. Mm-hmm. We actually can't, I don't think we can fit another bottle in there right now. Mm-hmm. It's just
full. Well, I drank several of mine, so I've got a little bit more than that.
We probably have maybe two or three semi-collectible bottles that are empty mm-hmm. that we could remove and jam in more scotch.
What? Where are we going to put them? We're not getting rid of them.
No, I know that.
I use them for mouthwash.
Yeah.
Like my Glenrothes. I finally finished that, so I've got it.
I was thinking about maybe etching something on some of them.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, because I like to do glass mm-hmm. etching for our supposed fans out there. I do like to do glass etching. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so great. And with it, there was a third, distillery mm-hmm. that, you know, we just couldn't afford to do three.
Yeah, they're not the most affordable.
No. Even though we went to really a state tasty, that has no name to buy ours that doesn't have no. Actually, yeah, we got ours in Oregon when we went to visit the in-laws for Thanksgiving. Our first stop was a liquor store.
Yeah,
it was great. We helped some people pick out a scotch for their visiting son.
Nice.
Sure hope he liked it.
I know. Yeah. I know.
We do. We liked it.
Well, yeah. we told him to try Monkey Shoal because they're, you know, mm-hmm. he likes the peaty stuff, but the peaty stuff tends to be pretty pricey, and mm-hmm. they weren't ready to shell mm-hmm. out that amount. So they were talking about Monkey Shoal. I said, "Oh, I really like Monkey Shoal. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorites." And they're like, and it was like, I don't know, $35 mm-hmm. or something there.
It's
and,
like reasonable.
And they're like, "Oh, okay." And walked off.
Oh, I mm-hmm. should have mentioned Trader Joe's and what's the name of the scotch at Trader Joe's that I like?
Finlaugan.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, another question is, I don't know that we've discussed this on the podcast before, but we are keeping a Solera bottle, or what's the other word for it? I can't remember. Heritage bottle, history bottle, I don't know, something. We take the favorite scotch of each night and pour a little bit into a bottle. So eventually, when the bottle is full, we will have our own unique blend.
Yes.
So I'm thinking we should put the Glen Scotia in there. What do you think?
Yeah. I think mm-hmm. the Springbank will probably get lost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would definitely put the Glen Scotia
in there. Yeah, I like the Springbank very much, but it's milder, mm-hmm. and I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so someday we will try our unique Solera bottle.
Yeah,
all of you will be completely uninterested because you don't have it and can't get it. But it is kind of a fun idea.
Though we can tell people what's in it.
Yeah. Yes, we will do that.
Well, hopefully you have been.
I'm writing on with a Sharpie on the side.
Good. Good girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it for tonight. Mm-hmm. We only had two bottles, so we're probably not as going as long tonight. But next time, I'm not sure what we're doing. But
I think we should go back to Speyside. There's a lot of
are a lot of Speyside.
Sure.
That's the thing about scotch. You just don't run out.
No, you don't.
Yeah. And John, also sometime we might want to try some American whiskeys that are, and Japanese, mm-hmm. Japanese whiskeys that are based on, that they're trying to be scotches, but they can't call themselves scotch. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, but they're because John found a really good,
single malt American whiskey.
Wow.
From Seattle.
And it's really good, yeah.
Oh, neat. Well, and eventually we might, the micro distillery trend is really kind of kicking off in Washington. And up on Whidbey Island, of all places, I found a really nice gin that I haven't really opened up and, you know, put through its paces yet. So eventually we may just do a micro distillery night. But I think
that sounds good.
Next time, let's go Speyside. I need another scotch, okay. And then we'll do some more exploring.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
See you next time.
Mm-hmm. And drink good things.